B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, October 29th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get the latest in esports news with Joe over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk. Plus, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming cosplay you've always wanted to be able to do. Those conversations coming up today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first,
gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
EA Games is officially returning to Steam. EA and Valve have struck a deal for their games to appear on the platform along with EA Access, and that partnership will begin with the upcoming Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order on November the 15th. EA Access will become available on Steam in spring of 2020.
Aww, was Origins not working out for
you? There's so many spins on like this grand partnership that they finally have come to, but everyone just looks at it and goes, no, you want your games to start selling well again.
All I can think of is the Loki meme. You must be truly desperate to turn to me for help.
I hope this means we get Mass Effect 3 on Steam finally.
Oh, please.
Here's the thing, though.
Wishful thinking, Rob.
Here's the thing, though. This is the first domino in a long line of dominoes that will eventually end up falling. Because a lot of these, you know, first-party digital distribution platforms that every development company suddenly decided they needed are definitely going to be coming all the way back to Steam, because that's where the largest potential pool of customers. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. That's Steam, where the biggest pool of customers is.
Steam and Epic Store are going to start hoovering these things up left and right.
I wonder if it was Steam that went to EA because of the traction that Epic's been getting. Because imagine if this would have been the other way around, EA and Epic partner.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's an interesting theory, Robbie. I don't know how much water it holds, but it's definitely interesting.
Ubisoft has admitted that Ghost Recon Breakpoint was, well, pretty much a disaster. The game has had one of their rockiest launches in recent memory and has now outlined their plans to fix it. While the immediate focus will be on fixing bugs and improving stability, November will play host to two major updates for the game. I got to play a little bit of Breakpoint, and it is... It is morbidly plain.
I'm not sure how they messed that up after Ghost Recon or
Wildlands, right?
Yeah. which I played, and it was fine. I'm glad that I didn't get this on release and decide to kind of wait till maybe there's like a lull in a season somewhere, and then I'll pick it up.
No, they stripped out some of the features that were good in Wildlands, and it's just so mediocre and boring, and it's buggy too. So it's like, yeah, it's time to fix
it. That sucks.
With its reception, you wouldn't think it was called Point Break.
I hate you so much.
Sorry.
Thank you, Robbie.
Ow! Yes. That's the loudest drop we... Why is the loudest drop we have crickets?
I don't know.
Stupid.
Anyone active in EVE Online knows how hectic things have been lately. A mysterious faction with new ships and new weapons has been invading the galaxy, and now Chapter 2 of the invasion will launch in November. The new launch will see players get an opportunity to fight back and capture an enemy ship. Again, EVE Online is eternally the most interesting game that none of us will ever play.
Nobody will ever play it. The people who play EVE Online are the same people who've been playing it for a decade.
You have sociopath to play EVE Online.
It's all run by like 46-year-old accountants. Those are the only people who still play it, and yet they have one of the most interesting communities out there. That game is brilliant to report.
I have to believe that it's because of the amount of freedom
that CCP gives their players inside of EVE. There is an enormous amount of freedom that the players have to be able to, you know, create events and make a ongoing history that sometimes is counter to what the development company wants, but they go, okay, we're gonna go with the way that the momentum is
and
going.
And I think that's a really good point, too. Usually massive online games like that have a very well-established lore. EVE Online gave you the rough, broad strokes and then let the lore be created by the community itself.
Yeah, it's actually an ongoing history that's you know, a history of actions taken by the players. It's pretty amazing when it comes to EVE Online games, yeah.
Counter-Strike keys can no longer be resold. For a long time, players have been able to buy and trade keys used to open the game's equivalent of loot boxes. However, that ability is being removed from the game as Valve says the feature is being abused for money laundering purposes.
What?
Yeah, there was
terrifying.
Yeah, they said that originally they would monitor a lot of this, and most of the time it was a harmless thing. If they have a key, they'd sell it or whatnot. But now they've said that almost all the transactions of keys these days, like a statistically negligible amount, are harmless at this point. Most all of them are for money laundering.
This and skins trading in CSGO, I think that Valve really has a problem on their hands, and they've got to really come to the table with some solutions to be able to rectify it.
Here's a good start. Take that ability out of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Death Stranding is set to release in mid-November, and pretty much the entire PlayStation world seems pretty excited about it. We found out this week that not only will the game be released on PS4, but that a PC version is also in the works. You'll have to wait a while for that one, though, as it's scheduled to release early summer 2020.
I'll just get
as it usually is. Yeah. You know, the PC doesn't ever come out at launch usually.
No,
so.
But I'm still pretty surprised to see Death Stranding coming to PC. Yeah.
I am, too. I thought this was going to be a Sony exclusive for a long time.
Yeah.
Greedfall is turning out to be a windfall for developers Focus Home Interactive. The game has recorded stronger than expected sales, pushing them to record profits of $41.2 million this quarter. Despite some mixed reviews relating to the game's themes, it continues to perform well above expectations.
Robbie, this is a game that you've actually been playing. Are you surprised by this number of $41.2 million?
Kind of, but I'm glad to hear it, because I think that this was Spider Studios is the one who developed it. It was one of their first outings in this genre, and trying to sort of capture that market that was left barren by The Witcher and Dragon Age.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if they get a second shot, if they get a sequel, I think that it could be as big of a jump as what you saw from like Mass Effect 1 to Mass Effect 2.
Interesting.
Sony has issued a series of trademarks as they look towards the future. Apparently not wanting to take any chances, they've gone ahead and trademarked the PS6, the PS7, the PS8, the PS9, and the PS10. So points for optimism, Sony.
Well,
I appreciate your candor.
I am glad that they are not one for a lack of originality.
I'm actually surprised this isn't something that they had already done,
if
I'm being honest.
At least we know that they're not going to go to some kind of Microsoft naming conventions and be like, here's the
Sagittarius.
Thank you.
The PlayStation Aquarius Pisces X13.
Exactly. So that's all for the Checkpoint XP gaming news update. For more, head on over to our website. That's at checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. Vice had a great article this week about whether you can ever be too old to be good at video games. And I mean, all of us are getting older. I'm 34, and I'm the oldest of us. And, you know, it's definitely got some self-reflection that's built in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is actually something that we've talked about before on this show. Is there a point where you start aging out of gaming? And I'm not talking about aging out in the way that most people end up aging out, where they just kind of like, oh, that's a kid's thing. I'm gonna put it away in terms of my interests. I think as adults, we are very much interested in video games, but is there a point where our skills start to suffer?
Yeah, and that, you know, that's what really kind of got me about this article, is because that's a fine thing to say in like the abstract, but this is an article. It's a great piece done by Steve Rousseau over at Vice, talking about this person who, they used to be a big time college gamer. They used to play competitively. They used to do LAN parties and all that stuff, and thinking, oh, great, my 9-year-old son's getting into Overwatch.
Sure.
I'll sit down and learn to play with him and it'll be fine. And realizing that His 9-year-old son is way better than him.
Interesting.
Not just a little better than him. So, way better.
So in the article, does this person take some time off? Because I sort of feel like if you have a family, that sort of necessitates taking a step away from gaming. Because
some.
You have, yeah, well, because now you have all sorts of new responsibilities. Yeah. You can't stop working, right? And you've got to be able to take care of the kid, obviously. That leaves very precious few hours for gaming.
Your skills will deteriorate in that time.
If you're not using them, absolutely. And so I have to imagine that, yeah, that there was some time that he spent away from gaming.
Well, actually, that's another person that is covering this. Not the person who's playing Overwatch, but someone, they found themselves suddenly having 8 extra hours every day to play. And they said, I'm going to get good at game. I'm going to, like I used to do, I'm going to put in the practice. I'm going to put in the time, and I'm going to get really good at it. And they found that over the course of a month and a half of really playing hard and practicing, they weren't improving very much.
See, I think it might
take a
little bit longer.
They were not getting a lot better.
That it takes even longer than just a few months, because I think something that we've seen in the pro scene, take someone like Ryu Zhehong in the Overwatch League, 28 years old, still considered one of the best. I think that what you might end up losing in reflexes or eye coordination when you actually have a career behind you, you're gaining in game sense. You're gaining in just being able to call things and being able to kind of, you know, appreciate what's going to happen out there. And I think that there may not be a direct correlation, but there's still just as much value there as there is in raw dexterity at younger ages.
And I think another really important factor here is the fact that the very nature of games themselves change. You know, the stuff that we were playing, you can't take the same game sense from something like GoldenEye and then go and try to apply it to Rainbow Six. And even Rainbow Six 10 years ago to Rainbow Six now is totally different. So outside of stuff like fighting games where it really doesn't change that much over time, I think it's very, very hard to adjust.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see this latest crop of professional gamers as they age and start to form families, because their job is gaming, whether or not that effect is still true. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you feel like as you get older, it's harder to be good at video games? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming cosplay you would just love to do. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
Navi have announced they're closing down their Fortnite division. We'll tell you why.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The latest in esports news is here on Checkpoint XP. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City, as well as 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming cosplay you've always wanted to do. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first...
Oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
Ready for the dive!
Sports Gaming Update with Joe Sloan.
Just a year after opening the division, Navi have announced they're shutting down their Fortnite wing.
Ouch.
They're disbanding the team due to unprofitability in the title. Their team manager wrote, quote, "Unfortunately, despite huge interest in the discipline on behalf of the players, the publisher, Epic Games, does not support the esports clubs, completely ignoring their interests." So some harsh words towards Epic.
Yeah, you know, one of the conclusions that I've recently came to about Fortnite and the way that they operate, because they've always been heavily criticized about the way that they change the meta before big tournaments.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that I don't think that Fortnite is meant to be like this big pro scene. I think that the idea behind it is that anybody can jump in at any time and have success.
See, I'm inclined to agree with that. I don't think a pro at this point they don't need a pro scene. Fortnite just doesn't need a pro scene. Every year you just have a big open tournament where people come in and you could win a big old pot of money. I think at this point there's no need to regiment a pro scene. They're not gonna do it well, so just do it how you've done it now. And
no,
get the big headline.
I definitely think that there's actually something to that, because between the complaints saying that, you know, Epic doesn't support the esports clubs specifically, and you know, Epic's insistence to continually change the game right before big tournaments, I do think that that kind of supports that hypothesis, Robbie, that Epic may want their competitive scene to be a little bit more inclusive.
Yes.
And if you think about it, that does kind of level the playing field.
It's the last Jedi to force us for everyone.
For the pros against your regular average Joes.
Well, and specifically what they're talking about is Epic is very kind of stringent at the World Cup. They were very stringent about like what logos you could have showing if you had a sponsor with you, how big that branding could be. A lot of restrictions that aren't in place in other esports. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
The ESL has taken a major step forward in creating a path to the pro scene for Dota 2. They've launched the ESL Academy system for the game, where four veteran players will draft teams from North America and Europe. The Academy system, which is sponsored by DHL, will have a $240,000 prize pool. While this is certainly a step in the right direction, it remains to be seen if this will help Dota reach the heights in North America that it has elsewhere.
I doubt it, although I do think that getting DHL as a sponsor on there is mighty interesting. Not a name that we've seen active in the space, but clearly looking someone that's looking to get in deeper.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that I really like the fact that they're doing this whole academy system, because Street Fighter League does this where you have pros that have drafted players off of ladders, and I think it's a really good way to get the pros to interface with some of the lower tiers of play. I think it's a great idea.
The $240,000 prize pool does stand out, because one of the biggest problems with a lot of these minor leagues is why it,
yeah.
You can't make anything doing it. So seeing like an actual prize pool that matters could go a long way. Mouse Sports have announced they'll be dropping out of IEM Beijing. They're actually the second team to drop out, following Team Liquid, who were replaced by Ents Gaming. Mouse Sports will yield their spot in the tournament to the Renegades, who recently placed fourth at Star Series Season 8.
I mean, listen, this makes all the sense in the world. Have you tried to read those tiny passports?
Yeah, correct. For the Mouse Sports?
Yes.
I hate you. Go away.
I get the crickets twice in one episode?
Twice in one episode.
You're so bad at this.
Oh,
you're mic one to lead the conversation and let us lead the funny, okay?
Jeez. Evil Geniuses have had a pretty wild month. After returning to Counter-Strike Global Offensive, they won it all in the first tournament they entered at ESL New York. The good vibes didn't last, however, as they got bounced early at DreamHack Masters Malmo.
No.
Don't worry, they've now gotten back to their winning ways, as they took first place at Star Series Season 8 over the weekend. With the win, they take home $250,000.
You know, Evil Geniuses kind of has like a sort of special place in my heart, because when I first started watching and getting into MOBAs with the International a few years ago, Evil Geniuses was the first team that like I kind of like got behind.
So that's your new bandwagon?
No.
We'll see.
To your point, Robbie, it's nice to see a competitive North American team anytime.
Yeah,
anytime a new North American team pops up, that's good news, especially if they can actually compete on an international stage.
That's true.
The number one ranked player in the world continues to dominate Smash Ultimate. Following a loss in the winner's semifinals, MKLeo powered through the loser's bracket to the grand finals of the event, where he 6-0'd Samsora to win the tournament.
Oh my god!
Yeah. The win marks Leo's 11th major win of 2019,
Ooh,
and he took home the bulk of a $50,000 prize pool.
He is the man in Ultimate, okay?
He really is.
Point blank, period.
What do you have to do to get Smash God status? Because I feel like he's done it.
I think at this point, if he comes back and he wins another EVO, unequivocally.
Another EVO?
Unequivocally.
Yeah, I think the only reason I wouldn't say yes now is because, again, Smash is only, Ultimate's only been around for a year.
Yeah, the game itself is not that old.
Yeah, I mean, Melee had a long legacy behind it before they started giving that away. With only 2 weekends to go in the League of Legends World Championship, 4 teams remain in contention. From China, FunPlus Phoenix will take on defending world champions Invictus Gaming this weekend. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, South Korea's SK Telecom T1 will take on Europe's last hope in G2 Esports. Listen, I don't want to sound like a petty jerk, okay?
But
there's a large but there.
About to sound like a petty jerk.
Yeah, I was really hopeful to watch all 3 European teams get bounced over the weekend. I saw the first 2 get knocked out, and I was like, oh, come on, Europe fans, take this one. Come on.
You want to talk about being petty? I will have you know that had you not talked me into Damwon Gaming, I would have a perfect bracket.
He'd have a perfect bracket.
So after 2 years of trashing on my picks, you decided to listen to me? Tisk, tisk.
He almost idiot savanted his bracket. That's impressive alone.
World of Warcraft's raiding guild Limit has officially partnered up with Complexity Gaming. The guild will rebrand to Complexity Limit and will aim to bring PvE into the spotlight. For those not in the know, PvE refers to player versus enemy instead of player versus player, which is what most esports are.
So this is like the
competitive raiding.
The competitive raiding and the dungeon grinding and stuff like that. Interesting. I mean, it's interesting to see an esports org get into this space. It's not a space that I thought orgs would be interested in.
I was very surprised to see, especially a major name like Complexity. It's not like that's a fly-by-night organization.
No, it's just like a time trial and other things. You know, you run a marathon or a race where you do time trials.
But have you tried to watch it?
Yo, I don't want to
like
watch it.
It's like watching paint dry.
I definitely don't want to watch it.
It's like watching a marathon.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Actually, that's actually a very apt comparison.
Although, I'll tell you what, that scene is in an uproar right now, too, because of some shenanigans with the prizing that's going on. Another thing for Blizzard to deal with.
Oh,
great.
Boy.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website. That's at checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. As we approach the esports offseason, we're already starting to look ahead to the 2020 season. This week, we finally got some confirmation of when the Call of Duty League is scheduled to kick off.
Yes, we have our official start date for Call of Duty League. The opening weekend will feature a tournament including all 12 teams in the league and will be hosted in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That tournament will be held on January 24th through the 26th.
Ooh. Interesting timing. So it looks like they're going to be trying to bridge that gap that usually happens in January and February, where, you know, you basically every other league is in its offseason.
It seems like they're trying to hopefully, we don't know when League of Legends will be starting up when the spring split will kick off, but it'll probably be the end of January, the beginning of February in that area. We know Overwatch has been pushing back a little bit further out of January. They're definitely trying to get kind of right in on the beginning of it, and I love this idea of doing a 12-team tournament to kick it off. We know most of these, the homestands that we see with Overwatch don't involve all the teams, so for them to say, you know, Call of Duty, it's the opening weekend, Minneapolis, Minnesota is hosting, it's going to be at the Minneapolis Armory, it is, and it's that's an 8,400 seat venue, so
wow,
not a small
sizable venue.
Hosted by the Minnesota Rocker. That is the name that they are going with.
Okay.
Rooker.
I think it's Rooker.
Okay, Rooker.
This is, I think, a very interesting move. You know, Call of Duty, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, trying to come in and lead off the esports season so that they can try to get the majority of views or you know, get some interest
the
around
energy.
Their product, their energy. Overwatch did this 2 years ago. PlayerUnknown's Battleground did this earlier this year, and it obviously worked out for Overwatch, maybe less so for PUBG.
Yeah.
What do you think of this move? Do you think that this is going to end up benefiting Call of Duty League?
It is, by the way, only 2 weeks before Overwatch League starts.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing, though, is that at first I've really poo-pooed running these seasons congruently, because we wonder, is Call of Duty going to run up against Overwatch? Are they going to do it at the same time? Da, da, da. But we know that these teams are, you know, sister franchises to the Overwatch League teams. And so to get these cities and these venue owners to buy into this esports thing, you want to have this stuff filled up and jam-packed on more than one day a week, probably.
Well,
in more than one homestand, I should say, one weekend out of every 8 weeks or whatever. So the more events that you're having, you know, all the way up and through the season, I think this makes more sense knowing that the home and away thing is going on in Overwatch.
And don't forget, too, that a lot of the research that comes out shows that people just don't watch multiple esports. You have your esport that you watch.
Right.
So they're probably seeing that as, like, we're not really cannibalizing our own audience.
Yeah.
If they weren't going going to watch Overwatch before, they're not going to watch it now.
But do venue owners fundamentally understand that distinction? They may not, and they may just be looking for events that they can put on their calendar.
And I think it makes sense. That's why, like, you're not hearing that Minneapolis is opening their own venue for esports. They're renting out the Minneapolis Armory. Great call on their part.
Yeah, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for Call of Duty League to kick off January 24th? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out if you could do any gaming cosplay under the sun, bear no expense, what would you do? Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida on 99.3 FM. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. This week on our social media question, we ask you what, you know, if you could just spare no expense, right?
And you had all the talent.
Yes, and you had all of the talent. You had the 3D printers to be able to do it on hand. It would cost you almost nothing. If you could do any gaming costume, because we're right on top of Halloween now.
Yeah.
If you could do any gaming costume or cosplay, what would you choose to do?
So we got
some very interesting responses out there. So Norris, it sounds like you want to jump in. Norris, what would you want to do?
I would love, and this is money is no object, I would love for me and my girlfriend to cosplay as Bayek and Aya from Assassin's Creed Origins.
Oh, no. Nice.
I would love to do team cosplay.
Now, let me ask you this. What would be more difficult, putting together that cosplay or getting her to agree to do it as
putting
well?
Putting it together.
Oh, really?
She's already told me, like, if we get it together and we find somebody, because we have no crafting talent whatsoever.
Oh, I think that goes for everyone at this table.
Yeah. So she said we can find somebody to do a really cool cosplay.
Sure.
We would totally do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be those two, or if I really went to top flight, I'm gonna be Robo riding from Metal Gear.
Oh my god. I've seen some incredible cosplays of that, but it also seems impossible.
Yes.
Like, this
literally would, impossible.
It would have to be a situation where you know, money is no object.
Yes. Yeah, I would literally have to be Tony Stark.
Robbie, you actually have done cosplay. You've got some cosplay chops.
A little bit.
Under your belt. So
cosplay is not bad, by the way.
I mean, your Star-Lord was always really good.
Yeah. So for me, it's always, the draw has always been to complex and, like, really ornate cosplays, but also something that's not going to be really impossible to get around with, right? Like a Big Daddy, for example, would be a great cosplay, but I ain't trying to walk around a convention in that.
That's
right?
Fair. Practical concerns.
Exactly. Assassin's Creed assassins have always been one of my favorite ones to go to, especially because they have so many, like, gadgets and stuff like that.
But they're not going
to
let you bring the Hawk in.
Well, no. But I once seen a Lara Croft who had literally every single, like, tool and gadget and weapon that she had through the game.
That's
right?
Cool. Impressive.
But I think if I were to do it, in the past I've said Commander Shepard, but I actually think that I would go the Quarian route, and I think having a Quarian cosplay would be really, 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 really cool.
We're talking super, Mass Effect, like in the awesome suit.
Yup, having
the
suit with like lights and stuff
with
like
the lights,
that too.
Oh.
With just the, the highlights. Everything down, for sure, man. That would be really cool. Yeah.
All right, Joe, what about you?
So again, we're talking, I don't actually have to have the talent to do this.
No.
I just get to do it. Okay. I would love to, do a crossplay. I would love to do Sarah Kerrigan.
We saw the Kerrigan cosplay at the esports arena in Vegas.
Oh, hold on. Yes. We're talking Queen of Blades Kerrigan.
Obviously.
You know, I gotta tell you, I would love to do either. Ghost Kerrigan is awesome, too. Are you kidding me? Ghost
both.
Kerrigan looks amazing, but yeah. Obviously, you want the wings, so yeah.
No, here's what you do. You go to a cosplay contest, and you have the ghost stuff on, and then you have some sort of, like, breakout latex thing where underneath is the wings and all that stuff.
I hope everyone's watching, because I can only do it once. Tear it off.
Yeah.
Now you're Queen of Blades here. I would like just like the hair. Like, I can't imagine how long to make the hair would take.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It'd be horrific. Nate, how about you?
For me, I would love
Fallout answer.
Yeah, it is actually. I would love a full set of power armor. Yeah. It would be awesome.
Well, that would be so hard to move around in, though, man.
The only other character that I was ever interested in cosplaying as, I've already done, which was Naked Snake. So, you know.
You did. Naked Snake. I had the pleasure of filming that.
I've done several Naked Snakes.
You know who I want. You know who I want.
Phrasing.
Phrasing is fair.
You know who I want to see you do. Do you guys remember?
Phrasing.
Dang it.
Where are your drops for this, Robbie?
Bass Armstrong from Dead or Alive.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Nate could do Bass, the pro wrestler.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yep. Nate, look up Bass Armstrong and tell me.
I don't know this character.
He's amazing.
I don't know this character.
Oh, 100%.
He's like a beefier Randy Savage. I'm in.
Yes, he is. He's amazing.
I'm so in for this. All right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through our social media responses. This week, we were asking you if you could spare no expense. Money is no object. You know, talent is not an issue. What gaming cosplay would you love to do? So let's check out some of the responses that we were getting in over social media.
On Facebook, we got Fernando, who says the Drifter from Destiny 2. I'm going to tell everyone to bank those motes and that your team sucks. I like it, man. I think the Drifter would be a good call. I like this one from Davey as well. Monarch from Titanfall 2. I just really want to get groceries in a Titan.
Say what you will about the gameplay in either of those games, the aesthetic has always been so cool.
Is there.
I love that we express concerns about being able to get around a convention, and our first couple of responses are like, no, I want to wear a Titan in a grocery store. No concern for convenience.
Yeah,
I love it.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no, you'd be knocking over shelves right and left.
Blake on Facebook says the merchant from RE4 would be just fun to spout all the quotes.
What are you buying?
Question is, do you have that in your
guy?
Coat you hand out to people?
Not enough cash, stranger.
That definitely takes a little bit of funding because, you have to have things to be able to hand out to people.
You also can't do that at a con very, very well.
No, if you go to people and start opening
a
coat.
Hanging out.
Yeah, no. That's going to get you tackled by security quickly.
Yeah, you might be right on that one.
Andrew on Facebook says Duke Nukem from Duke Nukem 3D. As if you have to specify which Duke Nukem game. They look the same.
It's not like the design was radically changed.
I was just about to ask, did Duke Nukem get a character update at some point? Because I don't think he did.
I think it's blue jeans, a tank top, the little ammunition like suspenders,
and
an atomic symbol on your belt buckle, and then the sunglasses and a flat top.
That's it.
Well, it's on Duke Nukem. And a cigar.
J. Jonah Jameson before he became a journalist.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much.
That's canon to me now. This is what J. Jonah Jameson was doing before he was signed on for the Daily Bugle.
I like it. Enyo on Twitter says Squall from Final Fantasy VIII, mostly because I want that sweet jacket. And that's fair.
I could see that.
Don't you have a Squall cosplay?
I do. I did a Squall cosplay. I did have a sweet jacket.
Whatever happened to the jacket?
Here's what you need to understand about the jacket. While it looked great for photos because I had time to pose, That was not the best jacket I ever wore in my life. It is not too good. It was a little small.
I have to call you out on the answer that you put on here from Sarascopic, which was Commander Shepard Tali Zora from Mass Effect. She had also commented that she'd love to be Jumbo Cactuar as well.
That's awesome!
That's a way better costume.
Way better costume!
Does she not realize, though, that you'd be the Jumbo Cactuar? She'd just be the normal
She'd
Cactuar?
She'd be a Cactuar. Yeah. Actually, more of a Tonberry.
Sarascopic is tiny. Yeah. Although, no, I've got it. We'll put her in the Jumbo Cactuar costume, and we'll get a little squall figurine and put it on top of her head like he's doing his limit break on her.
There you go.
All right, real quick, one more.
All right, we also have Teddy. Here we go. Easy question. Scarecrow from Arkham Knight. The scariest yet coolest getup I've ever seen in a video game.
That's one that I've always wanted to do.
I will give you that one for sure. All right, we're going to have to leave it right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week and every week's social media question. It's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles in the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Chad Callahan, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.